I miss a green, for example, I'm already upset. When I find my ball in the bunker, I'm really upset. And when I find my ball in a
fried egg.
Fried egg.
The dreaded fried egg.
Fried egg.
Fried egg.
Fried egg.
Fried egg.
Fried egg lie, I'm about ready to run off the golf course.
Arnold Palmer is the Masters champion of 1960. He has birdied the last two holes to catch and then move ahead of Ken Venturi, one of the greatest displays of courageous golf that anybody has ever seen any place.
Up the hill.
Oh, did you ever see one like that? I think that's one of the greatest putts I've ever seen in my life.
Maybe. Yes, sir!
There it is!
Can you believe it?
Nick Faldo! There it is! A win for the ages!
Is it his time?
Yes!
Here it comes.
Oh my goodness. Oh wow. In your life have you seen anything like that?
Hello, friends. I'm Jim Nantz. It's my great pleasure to welcome you to the Masters Tournament. I've heard it said before, it's a tradition unlike any other.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the Fried Egg Podcast. I am joined by Will Knights here on Masters Saturday. Just wrapped up watching today's third round. Quite a exhibition there.
Yeah, it was. I think we all went into today expecting some carnage from the weather, and instead we got the exact opposite.
Yeah, it seemed like it just kind of softened up the greens. It didn't really rain as expected. There was just that one little flurry of a downpour during when the leaders were off, and that kind of mucked things up. But for the most part, it just seemed to make scoring conditions easier, and a few guys took advantage. What were your big takeaways from today?
I think the biggest one is that Rory is definitely out for blood. He's nose reads up at the lead, and he wants to definitely get him back for Hazeltine there. You can definitely hear in his post-round interview that he thinks all the pressure is on Reed, and he's just ready to go out tomorrow.
Yeah, it's it'll be interesting to watch those guys duke it out. One of the things with Reed's play, I mean, that it was unbelievable on that back nine with the two eagles, the chip in, I mean, on the 15th was insane. But what it does is really separates him from pretty much everybody. But six shots is what Faldo came back on Norman from, and that's about the biggest margin in recent Masters history. So that puts it really up to Rahm, Fowler, McIlroy as the only legitimate chasers at 8-under or better. Do you see Reed potentially faltering tomorrow?
I think the first few holes will definitely be a good tell. I mean, with 2 and 3 being birdie holes, if he can get through those under par, I think that'll be a good test. It'll also be interesting to see if Rory puts pressure on him quickly. I mean, he does have that tough stretch with 4 through 7, but I think if Reed gets out to a hot start, it'll be tough to catch him.
Yeah, he just seems locked in this week. Obviously, he's always one of the world's best around the greens and on the greens, but since he's added that fade, it's taken his ball striking to a whole new level. And at Augusta, you know, it's amazing how much he trusts it, you know, hitting it on set off 17 tee and 18 tee today and hitting perfect tee shots. I think that'll carry over. I think, you know, it really will, as you said, come down to that first three holes and who sets the tone. Potentially, I mean, if one of these guys could go out in 30, it could put a little bit of pressure, but that's so tough to do on that front nine.
Yeah, I mean, we saw Fleetwood make that run today on the back, but on the front nine, you don't really have a good stretch. It'll be interesting to see if the typical Sunday pins are out there. Maybe they want to increase some birdies, but yeah, I think unless McIlroy, Fowler, or Rahm put pressure on him early, that's the only people who could really catch him at this point.
Yeah, it's that front nine stretch with like 4, 5, 6, 7. It's just so hard on those three holes to really make birdies, and it'll be really interesting to see how Reed handles this pressure, because he's never been in this type of moment before. He's had mixed results with holding the lead. I mean, his last one came at the Barclays a couple years ago, and he was a little shaky coming down the stretch there. But obviously, he's shown that in high pressure situations in the Ryder Cup, he's been nails. Tomorrow will be a little bit different beast.
Right. Yeah, I think definitely we know that he's not one to shy away from it. As you said, though, this is different. It's the Masters. I think he knows it's different, and it'll be interesting to see how he looks on the first tee tomorrow.
So what over the course of this Masters have you been surprised by most, Will?
Honestly, I'm a little surprised that it's played out kind of how we wanted it to. I mean, we were all building it up as one of the most anticipated Masters, and so far we've really gotten it. I mean, DJ, Spieth, JT, Bubba, Stenson, Rahm, Fowler, McIlroy, they're all there. Just whether or not they can make the move on Sunday and see if Reed can hold on here. But I think just getting this leaderboard has kind of been surprising, and that we've gotten everyone we wanted to see.
Yeah, I'd agree. At one point we were talking, the leaderboard was just nuts at the beginning of the round. There were 7 of the top 10 guys on the leaderboard were within the top 10 in the world rankings. Now it looks like you got Spieth, Thomas at T9th, and then Rahm and Fowler and McIlroy. So you're down to 5, but the other 5 players are no slouches, with like Reed, Stenson, Fleetwood, Bubba Watson, Leishman. All those guys are top 25 players. So I just don't see a way that anybody outside of those 4 guys can really take it home tomorrow. I mean, there's no way that Reed and Rory fall that much.
No, yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, the only way this leaderboard was going to be better is if Tiger or Phil actually showed up. But I mean, once you get over that fact, I think we're left with just about as good a leaderboard as we can expect. We'll definitely be interested to see that final pairing tomorrow. Patrick Reed's going to show up in his Sunday red, and he's going to be ready to go.
So you think he's going to ditch the scripting for the pink that Nike laid out for him?
I think his wife wore the hot pink pants after the round today, so I think all the Nike pink's been used this week.
We got a pair of Nike guys going at it.
We do.
Any blade collars going out?
Ooh, I think Nike will respect the Sunday at Augusta. They might not have during the practice round. I think we all saw Tiger wearing his blade collar against Phil's button down, but I think it's Sunday at the Masters. They'll put some collars on their guys.
Ricky and Rahm shot 65. I guess Rory shot 65 too today. But one of the things with Ricky's round was that, you know, the 13th hole where he went for it, obviously it's hindsight 2020. He doesn't make it, and you think, hey, he shouldn't have done this. But it was a questionable call to go for it, and you think here it's like, you know, one more shot could be the difference, and that's with major championships, it comes down to, you know, the smallest of margins. And he got up and down for par, but you lay that up with that back pin, it's an easy birdie, and that one shot would go a long way. You know, being within four and five is a big, big difference.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, essentially his up and down for par would have been the up and down he would have had for birdie. I mean, it would have been the exact same shot. So making that mistake just kind of really cost him. I mean, who knows? It might have cost him the final group, honestly. Rory would have known that he needed to make that birdie to put the or to get into the final group. I think he was going to pretty much attack regardless, but who knows? Ricky might be the one in the final group with Patrick Reed tomorrow.
Yeah, so tomorrow, weather conditions, they're saying it's going to be 63, so it'll be a lot cooler. Moderate winds. I think the one thing that will happen is with the rain, it actually will be tough conditions because they'll crank those sub airs and the greens are going to be really firm, but then the surrounds of the greens will be really soft, which always makes things tricky. If anything, I think that favors a guy like Rory who comes in with that towering ball flight, right?
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, as we saw today, Rory's just hitting it past everyone. I mean, he was consistently 40, 50 yards past Stenson. I don't see that not continuing. I just do remember Reed at the U.S. Open last year. He was chipping pretty well off those tight lies. I mean, if he's missing greens, with a little bit of pressure, we'll see how his short game holds up. But he has shown in the past that he's been able to get it up and down from those areas.
That's what's impressed me the most about Rory this week is how he's kept the momentum going. It seems to me like in recent years with major championships, he just has always missed that 5-footer for par. And this week he's making all those, you know, we saw two really clutch up and downs from him on the par threes, on the back nine. And that's the key for Rory is always that momentum. I feel like he just really feeds off momentum more than almost any other player in golf.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think once he got up and down on 13 there, it was very similar to what Sergio did last year, kind of saved his whole tournament. And then Rory just down the stretch was just firing at pins, knowing he needed to make a few more birdies and put some pressure on. He's been here before. He's been in the final groups of majors. This is the first time he's been in the final group at the Masters, though, since his meltdown in 11. So we'll be interested to see how he looks on the first tee tomorrow.
Yeah, then he had the meltdown in 15 in the final group Saturday. So Sunday is completely different beast than Saturday. The pins get tougher, and especially today with the soft conditions, it'll be a whole different ball game tomorrow, soft and calm. What do you make of the thumb?
The thumb. He put on a show today for us. He quite the charge on the front nine there and then continued it on the back. I thought he was going to be the only non-Jeff Knox player to make birdie on 11, but, he's right there. I wouldn't put it past him to make a charge early tomorrow. We know he has the firepower to get to two, and with that pin, eagles are definitely in play, so we'll see if he's able to make a couple early birdies or eagles.
Yeah, he was so under the radar coming in. Nobody was talking about him because he, you know, compared to what his usual standards are with, you know, essentially he was a top 10, top 5 machine, and he had a kind of string of top 30s, which got everybody off him. But he is built for this golf course. For a guy that's only 23 and has had, what, less than 30 PGA Tour starts, he's one of the most complete young players we've seen come up through the ranks in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, so this is his second year at Augusta now. So, I mean, he didn't look great on Thursday opening. I think he was 75. But, I mean, ever since then, he's just been nails coming down the stretch. Today especially threw a dart in there on 16, and then 17 made that birdie as well. We all know he wants to prove that he's one of the best, if not the best in the world. So he needs majors to prove it.
Anybody you were disappointed with today that you kind of expected to see jump up?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely with the soft conditions, I think early we were thinking JT was going to make a run. He birdied two, but then just kind of fell flat the rest of the round. I mean, when everyone else is out there shooting 66 and 65, and for him to only shoot 70 is kind of disappointing. We saw Rory take advantage of his length on the course, but JT just couldn't take advantage.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed with Leishman. I kind of thought he'd hang around a little bit more, but it just expected more than 73 out of him, especially with how soft it was. I thought he was going to be a guy in the mix tomorrow, but now he's 8 shots back. That just seems like too much to me.
Yeah, he just burned a couple edges early there and never got any momentum going. And once Patrick Reed just started pulling away, I think you could kind of see he just had a couple flat tires and just couldn't keep it going.
Who's your prediction for the backdoor special tomorrow?
Backdoor special, you know, I think Rose had a ton of pressure on himself coming in to this tournament. And now that he's just out on the outside looking in, he's definitely just going to, I think he's going to go low tomorrow. I mean, as we've seen, Spieth has not done anything either. I think he could backdoor top five here as well.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, after round one, I was worried that we were going to see 2015 like all over again, where it was essentially over on Saturday or on Friday. But that putter, he just hasn't been the same this year over, especially short putts.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we saw with Thursday, yeah, he goes out hot and then just completely gives it all back early Friday and just never found it again. I mean, with him and DJ today, I thought they were going to kind of put some pressure on each other to play well, and they both really just fell flat.
Yes, it almost worked in the opposite way, where they both didn't do anything, and it was probably just like watching everybody running and you're stuck in quicksand.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think when you're in a good pairing that you guys can kind of feed off each other and make birdies, that definitely helps. And with both of them just being unable to get going, it just hurt them both.
All right. Keep this thing tight. What's your prediction for tomorrow?
I think Patrick Reed pulls it out. I know Rory's coming for him, but I think he wants it. And he's going to go out there ready to go. He's going to be able to hold off Rory early, and I think he wins by two.
Oh, man. I
You think Rory gets it done?
I don't know. I don't want
Reed.
It depends on my head and my heart. My head says Reed. He's just been nails all week, but I just don't want to see Reed in every Masters till he's like 65 or 70.
Yeah, I think definitely some of those guys in the Champions locker room are rooting against him, but yeah, I just think it's his time. We'll see if anyone can put pressure on him, but I think unfortunately we're going to see Patrick Reed draped in green tomorrow.
Yeah, it's from his hard work too. You have to give props where it is. He's identified what he couldn't do and what was holding him back, and he's gotten markedly better. And that's what this game, you know, that's why it's so important not to judge guys when they're 25, 26, because they still have so much time. And Reed's a perfect example of that. Just vast improvement and, you know, learning how to hit a shot and then pulling it off under pressure.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, ever since his top five comments, I think he's really come a long way. Definitely matured. I still think he rubs a lot of people the wrong way, but he's addressed the weaknesses in his game, and obviously it's paid off for him.
Yeah, so that's it. We'll overrated, underrated. Patrick Reed's apparel.
Now that he's Nike, I mean, he's kind of dressed the same as everyone, but he's definitely overrated. The swoosh does not really fit Patrick Reed's body type.
Overrated, underrated, the term patrons.
The term patrons is highly overrated, but patrons in general, definitely underrated. There's no yelling, no tomfoolery. They just go out and watch golf and cheer. It's a good time for them.
It's the way the Masters runs their whole thing is
It's a tight ship out there.
you know, everybody's kind of on their toes. They don't want to get thrown out. They've heard of the, you know, the Pinkerton running around there, kicking people out. You know, I think there's certain things. If you say certain things, you're out immediately. And just in general, the way Augusta just strong arms everybody, whether it's CBS, whether it's
for sure
it's their partners,
it's their way or the highway. And you walk in there, you better be on your best behavior.
Yeah, and then in turn, they deliver the best sporting event. Definitely the best golf event and arguably the greatest sporting event out there. So
absolutely,
you got to give them props for just running their thing the way they want to run it.
Yeah, I mean, we all know coming in, it's going to be immaculate on the course, and broadcast is what it is. We got to live with it. But I mean, it delivers every year. Like, this tournament just doesn't get any better.
All right. Well, we will, that'll wrap, and hope everyone enjoys a great Masters Sunday.
You've been listening to the Fried Egg Podcast. We do the digging for you.